Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to talk to you about friends. You know, the word friend is mentioned in the King James Bible 54 times, and the plural friends 58 times. So it must have some significance if it's mentioned in there that many times. Friend and friends all together are mentioned 112 times in the King James Version. Well, let's just take a moment, and I've always liked to do this. What does the dictionary definition of a word in the English language? The word friend can mean, and I'm not going to get into all the various definitions that can be thrown in here, but one attached to another by affection or esteem. Another definition, a person you know well and regard with affection and trust. And I know that sometimes, just like the word love, we use the word friend kind of loosely to include really people that are really not much more than just acquaintances. I heard somebody speaking this morning, I believe it was Matthew Hagee, was preaching on his message on television this morning about, and I forget the title of the message even, but he was talking about love and how a husband should love his wife and vice versa, and how we sometimes use the word love so loosely. And he mentioned, I love to go out to this, and he named a particular restaurant. Well, you don't love that restaurant in the same way that you love your spouse or your children or other people, but we use the word to indicate we like it. I really like that restaurant. Well, we do the same thing with friends, you know. And there are people that we barely know. Yeah, I got this friend. We haven't seen him in 40 years, and we barely knew them back then. But, yeah, this friend of mine. And I do it. Yeah, I got a friend, you know. And I catch myself telling, I think, well, really, they're just an acquaintance. And if we met each other on the street today, we probably really wouldn't even know one another. But we use that word friend. So what we want to talk today about is really true friends. True friends. So stop for a moment and think about your friends. And there was a country singer back many years ago. He was billed as the man with a million friends. There were probably a lot of people that liked him, but were they really his true friends? I really don't think so. Because you see, the man got saved, became a preacher, and I actually had a chance to meet him in a small church in California many years ago, and he was struggling to get by. Where were all those million friends that could have been helping him out? Well, most of them probably really didn't want to have a whole lot to do with him anymore because he was no longer living the lifestyle that they chose to live. So friends, and I want to just stop a moment because you see, God began to speak this message to my heart on Thursday. I actually made notes on Thursday, emailed them to myself, which is the way I do it sometimes. And then on Friday, I had a hard decision to make because I had to deal with putting a friend to sleep, my cat Ziggy. And Ziggy had been my friend for 17 years. And yeah, we battled once in a while, especially when she got on my lap between me and the newspaper. And I was trying to read it, things like that. And I'd put her down and get down, and she'd get down for a second and be right back up there. But she was an example, I think, of what a true friend is, because no matter though we had disagreements, she was always there. And that's what a true friend is. Think about people that you know that are your friends. How many of them would really be there in your time of need? We can go back, and there's an example in the New Testament in the story of the prodigal son. He had the quote-unquote dozens or hundreds possibly of friends as long as he had the money to dole out. But when the money was gone, so were the friends. And pretty soon, his only friends were the pigs in the pig pen. And I'm not sure how friendly they were with him, because he wanted their food. You know, pretty bad when you get so desperate that you're willing to eat what the pigs are eating. It starts to look good. Friends, last week, someone posted a message on Facebook which simply read, "I am a friend of God. He calls me friend." And that's really when God began to speak to my heart about today's message. And many times I've told you that we don't have religion. I know the world talks about Christianity as a religion. And so we look at it that way in many cases. But Christianity was never really meant to be per se a religion. It was meant to be a relationship. That relationship with Jesus Christ. And as a part of that relationship, the Bible, Yahweh God's Word, tells us that as Christians, and when I again use the word Christians, that's kind of becoming so generic that somebody will say they're Christian and they've never been to church in their life. But Grandma and Grandpa were Christians and they were born in America. So they think that automatically makes them a Christian. I mean people that are true believers, that really accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, then they are part, according to God's Word, of His family. But you see, when we look at family, sometimes there's even problems there. I want to read a scripture to you, and if you have your Bible, turn to Romans chapter 8. Verses 16 and 17. And this morning I'm going to read this from the Complete Jewish Bible. But it's Romans chapter 8, verses 16 and 17. "The Spirit Himself bears witness with our own spirits that we are the children of God. And if we are children, then we are also heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with the Messiah, provided we are suffering with Him in order also to be glorified with Him." Got to be friends with Him too. A friend is one that will stick with you then. Remember that? The friend will be there when you need help. Let's talk about family for a moment. Because it said right there, we're heirs with Him. We're part of the family. There's a song, "I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. Joint heirs with Jesus, washed in His blood." And I can't remember the rest of the words right offhand, but we're part of that family when we've accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. We come heirs of the kingdom of God. But family, stop to think about your family a second. As a family, we're supposed to love one another. But look around. There are a lot of families that can't stand the sight of one another. More bickering and fighting and feuding goes on. Shooting and killing one another sometimes. As family, we should be friends. But again, look at families. If your family gets along, be thankful that they get along. Because in this world today, a lot of families don't get along. Sometimes, because of circumstances, we become estranged from our families. And we don't even really know our blood relatives who are our family. But we really couldn't even really, I guess, even consider them friends because we don't even know them. But we as family members could be friends. So are you and your family friends? How about you and your spouse? Are you friends? There's a lot of people, husband and wife, boy, in name only, because they are more like adversaries in a boxing match, battling it out all the time, from the time they get up in the morning till the time they go to sleep at night, and probably punching one another during the night sometimes. You know? How about you and your spouse? Are you friends? Well, it's good to be friends. That's a start. Are you friends? But even more so, are you best friends? Husbands and wives, you should be best friends. When that spouse, that husband or wife hurts, you should hurt too. You should be concerned about them. You should feel for them. You should anticipate. And I know, as husbands and wives, we can't always get everything right. I'm realistic. I know you can't get everything right, but we should strive to do that. Not friends, but best friends. If you're not best friends, you should be. In fact, if you're not, you better start praying about that part. Well, here's what Yahweh God had to say about someone. And let's turn to the book of James, chapter 2, verse 23. James, chapter 2, verse 23. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Think about that. That's fantastic. God said, Abraham is my friend. Isaiah 41:8 says, But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. God didn't say it once, he said it twice there. Abraham was his friend. Think about that. Wow. It's fantastic. Abraham was the friend of God. You know, some people like to say that they're friends with certain people because it makes them look more important. You know, well, I know so-and-so. He's my friend, you know. And people say, oh, wow, he's the friend of so-and-so, you know. And that makes you feel more important, you know. And sometimes we stretch it a little bit, you know. Well, I'm a friend of so-and-so. Yeah, I may have run across him one time. That could be like me saying I'm a friend of George Jones because I sat behind him in the drive-up at Jack in the Box one time, you know. And that's kind of the way we do it. Or somebody like that, you know. But Abraham was God's friend. They had a relationship like friends have. Another example, Exodus chapter 33, verse 11. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. But it says here, he spake with Moses, God spake with Moses face to face as he would with a friend. There was that relationship there that was a special bond. Friendship is a special bond. And that's what they had. They had that special relationship. There was that bond that was between them. This is the same Moses that God spoke to out of the burning bush in Exodus chapter 3, verses 4 and 5, when he said, Moses, Moses, and Moses answered, Here am I. And God spoke to him and said, Draw nigh, but take off your shoes because you're standing on holy ground. Moses, you have come into my presence. Let's have a talk. And there's another one that I want to throw in here that I didn't bother to put in my notes, but think about Adam and Eve back in the Garden of Eden. God walked with them in the cool of the day. There was a relationship there, and they knew when they sinned that they had severed that special relationship because they hid themselves, or at least attempted to, from the presence of God when he came to walk with them that evening. Friends, this Moses, same man who was in the presence of Almighty God on Mount Sinai. And if you turn to Exodus chapter 33, verses 17 through 23, and we're not going to take the time to read all of this morning, but in these particular presence, or these particular verses, it says, and it starts off, and the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. Stop to think about that right there. The creator of the universe. By the way, I saw in the news today that they've come up with some new thing about how life started on earth, and I didn't read it. I know how life started on earth. God started it. Simple as that. The creator of the universe knows you by name. And he can look down. And I've talked about, because my name, Kenneth Unger, is not that common, you would think. There's not a whole lot of people named Kenneth. How often do you run into somebody named Kenneth? You don't run into that many people named Unger. But yet, approximately the same age as me, I have run into at least four other Kenneth Ungers who are just about my age, and we all lived, or at least three of us lived within a short distance of each other at one time. God knows which one of us is which. Because you're his friend if you're a child of God. Yeah, he knows who you are even if you're not a child of God. He knows who you are. But he's got that special bond with you when you're a child of God. Moses. And Moses' request basically was he wanted to see God. And God goes on in verse 20 and says, and he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passes by, that I will put thee in the cliff to the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face thou shalt not see. Moses was God's friend. He got a chance to see something no human being had seen before. Think about that. God says, because you're my friend, I'm going to grant you this request. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 6 says, many will entreat the favor of the prince, and every man is a friend to him that giveth gifts. And that verse again written in the Complete Jewish Bible says, many ask favors of a generous person, to a giver of gifts, everyone is a friend. And some of us sometimes have friends because of what we do or what we've done, or what they think they can get from us. You know, sometimes we have people that come to the church not because they're interested in what God is doing in the church, but what they think they can get out of the church. And I'm talking like handouts. Now, I hope that when they come that they get saved, that God touches their lives. But some of them, if you don't suddenly give them everything they are asking you for, they won't be back. I remember one church we went. This man and woman started coming to the church. And they were constantly calling the pastor, asking him to get something for them. Go to the grocery store and get this for us. He really became almost their personal shopper. It's what they wanted. Then we got to noticing that car batteries were disappearing from cars in the church parking lot. Now, most cars today, you've got to pull a latch inside to open it. But a number of years ago, cars, you could open them without, you know, any type of release inside the car. Car batteries were disappearing. Then they got to noticing that this man disappeared for a little while during every service. Well, you can fill in the blanks. When they left the church, car batteries didn't disappear anymore. But they were coming because of what they could get. And when the getting stopped, they left. And we probably all run into people who claim to be our friends for what they could get out of us. They're not really our friends, are they? But let's talk about best friends. Proverbs 22:11 says, "He that loveth pureness of heart, for the grace of his lips, the king shall be his friend." And Proverbs 18:24 says, "A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and that there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother." Now, I want to go back to Proverbs 22:11. It says, "And the king shall be his friend." You know, if we live that godly life to the best of our ability and do our best to serve God, the king is our friend. And who is that king? It's the king of the universe. That's who our friend is. Well, if you wanted to be a name dropper, like some people like to be, well, I'm a friend of the king. And if you're serving Jesus Christ and you're doing what he spoke to you to do, you're his friend. We've got the king's ear. Jesus listens to what we say. King listens to us. There may be nobody else down here on earth that pays a whole lot of attention to what we have to say, but the king listens to us. Amen. Proverbs 18:24, again, as I read, "A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother." That written in the Complete Jewish Bible says some friends pretend to be friends, but a true friend sticks closer than a brother. That goes back to family again. Sometimes your own siblings may not want have a lot to do with you. And even though that may hurt, you got a friend in Jesus, and he's going to be there for you. He's going to be there for you when it seems like the whole world has turned their back on you. He can be there for you. He is that friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Now, as I mentioned, if you're a Christian, you're serving God, you're a friend of the King of the universe. Think about that. But there's also, the Bible tells us, it's a bad thing not to be a friend of God. James chapter 4, verse 4 says, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." And that word enmity in the Greek, ekthra, which means hate, hateful, hatred. So let's reread that. "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is hatred with God?" So if you're a friend of the world, if you want to live in the world, you want to be, you know, we have to live in the world. We have to go out, go to our jobs and whatever. But we don't have to participate of some of the things of the world. And if you'd rather participate of the things of the world and the things that God says in his word are sin, then you are living at hatred as an enemy of God. That's what the Bible has to say. And I know, as someone asked the other day, that someone had mentioned, God is love. Yes, God is love. But God also has rules. And there's a price to pay if you don't follow the rules. That's true in anything. Go walk off the edge of a cliff, and you'll find out that you have violated a rule. That rule is called gravity. And you're going to suffer the consequences of breaking that rule. There are rules. God established them back in the beginning. And if we break them, we suffer the consequences. Whose friend do you want to be? Whose friend do you want to be? Do you want to be a friend of the world? And oh yes, as a friend of the world, you might turn out to be a very popular person. Having everybody hanging on every word you speak, tweet, email, Facebook, or whatever. And if you're a friend of God, people may totally ignore you. But that's okay if you're a friend of God. The King of the universe knows who you are. He is concerned about you. And he's looking out for you. As they say, he's got your back. He's taking care of you. I'd rather be taken care of by God than by the world. Because the world has a big reputation for failing. All you got to do is read the newspaper, for those who still read newspapers. Watch the news, or get it by however method you get it anymore, to find out that the world fails constantly. But God doesn't fail. He does not fail. He is the friend that's going to be there in our darkest hour. And he is the friend that someday we're going to go to live with forever and ever and ever. And enjoy that relationship. I ask, whose friend do you want to be? I know whose friend I want to be. I know whose friend I am. I'm God's friend. He calls me friend. And I can imagine somewhere in the courts of heaven this possible conversation coming up. About Kenneth Unger. And I'm talking about the Kenneth Unger that's standing in front of you, not one of the others. And God's reply, he's my friend. He's my friend. Does God do stuff like that? Well, just go back to the book of Job. Satan appeared before God, and God says, have you observed Job? And although he didn't use the word friend right there, all the implications of it, Job was a righteous man that was stood out before God and that loved God and hated evil, and he was doing his best to serve God. He was God's friend. It's implied there, even though the word is not mentioned. He was God's friend. Have you observed my friend Job, is what it could have been written. My servant, my friend. If you're serving God, you are a servant of God. You're a friend of God if you're serving God. Those two words could go interchangeably there. My friend Job, have you observed him, Satan? And the reply came back, yeah, but because you built a hedge around him, I can't do anything to him. But if I got a chance, he'd turn his back on you in a heartbeat. God had confidence in his friend because he knew that Job was his true friend. You've read the book of Job, know the story. Even though Job lost everything as far as the world was concerned, except his life, he stayed friends with God. Even his quote-unquote friends came to give him quote-unquote comfort. Job, what did you do wrong? He was still a friend of God. God blessed him. God blessed him abundantly in the end. And you might say, well, you know, I've been down and out, and God has never blessed me with wealth and all of these other things like Job had in the end there. Well, maybe not in this life. But he's already told us he's got more than we could ever dream of laid up for us, in store for us. And we're going to spend eternity with him, enjoying being that friend of God, that member of his family. And if someone's listening to me today by CD or the internet, and you've thought, am I a friend of God? You need today to make sure that you're a friend of God. You need today to make sure that you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, because that's the only way you're going to be a friend of God, is to accept Jesus Christ into your heart. And we become part of that family. We become friends with God. That's what his word has told us. And it's very simple. Just simply ask Jesus to come into your heart, cleanse you of your sin, and to help you start that new life in him. Father, today, as we have delivered the word that you have given us, I pray, Father, as it reaches out to those that are beyond these walls even today, Father, that you would speak to those hearts, and Father, that someone somewhere would come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and as their best friend. I thank you for these things, for I've asked it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.